Imagine a condition where slowly you seem to be fossilising. Not talking about old age, I'm talking about a disease where your skin starts to harden and stiffen throughout your body. This is one thing that happens with scleroderma, which I must say until now I had never heard of, and perhaps you haven't either. That's hardly surprising because it is actually quite rare. This means, though, that while you can be in a lot of pain and you can't work, it's not on the list of diseases for disability at Centrelink, for example. So what causes it? Michael McKenzie, for World Scleroderma Day, you've been investigating.
That's right. It's on tomorrow, Amanda. And I'd never heard of scleroderma either, so I did want to know more. And it's an autoimmune disease. It means that it's a disease in which the body produces its own antibodies that attacks its own tissues. And one of the champions of scleroderma research in Australia is Dr. Wendy Stevens.
So it's a rare disease, but because it has such disability, it's an important disease to us. It's an unusual disease in that it has multiple components. It affects small blood vessels in the body, which causes the blood vessels to be narrowed and thickened, and then the blood doesn't get through to parts of the body. And that's characteristically the fingers. And then people end up with not enough blood flow in the tips of their fingers or toes, and then getting nasty ulcers on their fingers or toes, and occasionally they even get little bits of their fingers dropping off with nasty infections. Now, the other thing it does is increase the amount of collagen that your body makes, and collagen is like a protein that connects cells together. And when you have too much of that collagen, it makes the area stiffer. And, for example, in the skin, they get very stiff skin. And so that stiff skin then restricts their ability to move their hands and other parts of their body. But the important thing to say about scleroderma is it comes in a huge range of forms. So many people have mild or limited scleroderma, where they just have a bit of the cold fingers and slightly stiff fingers and maybe a few little dots on their face, little new blood vessels and a few minor things. Other people have extensive skin involvement, which restricts even things like their knees or their elbows from moving, and they end up with flexed up knees and they can barely move their fingers. Fortunately, that diffuse form of scleroderma is much more rare than the limited form of the disease.
Dr. Wendy Stevens from the rheumatology unit at St Vincent's Hospital in Melbourne. And we'll hear more from her later. At the moment, scleroderma is incurable, and it affects many more women than men around the globe. Sam Stefanaris knows this. He's a former miner who got his diagnosis less than a year ago, and we caught up on Skype.
It affects me pretty much in every way, just being able to do certain things around the house, like being able to button up your shirts, tie your shoelaces, mowing your yard.
Why can't you button up your own clothes? What's preventing you from doing that?
Well, I have a syndrome called Raynaud's syndrome, which is where the smaller capillaries in your hands close off due to no blood being able to circulate to the tips of the fingers. So your hands go an off colour, like a purple or a really strong white, to resemble that there's no blood in the hands. So once there's no blood in the hands, no oxygen's getting to the fingertips or anything like that through the cells. So then the cells die off, and then you start to form ulcers on the tips of your fingers or anywhere where your skin is hardened through the body.
And where else do you have hardening at the moment?
I have hardening all over my face, all over my hands, up my arms, around my lats, both sides, and back of my neck, and yeah.
And so what does that skin look like now it's hardened?
The connective tissue, which is underneath your hands, the collagen, has more or less turned to scar tissue. So in your hands, you look very swollen, but around your body, the skin just feels very, very tight.
And Sam, how long ago did you first get diagnosed?
I'd say it'd be just on 6 to 7 months ago now. Could be a bit longer, yeah.
And how long did it take for that diagnosis to finally arrive on the correct outcome?
1 year, 1 year and a bit.
Why did it take so long, do you think?
I put it down to the amount of people that have a scleroderma in Australia. Simply, we in Australia, we only have 5,000 people who have scleroderma. So I think it's about doctors not being able to see so many patients and to deal with these sort of things that people are putting up with. So,
and who finally cracked the case of what you had?
Dr. Google and my wife.
So you've been to all these medical professionals?
Yes.
And it was Sarah, your partner, and online knowledge that got you there?
Thankfully. Simply because with scleroderma, the longer you leave the symptoms, the harder it is later on in life.
So, Sam, now it's been identified and it took a year for that to occur. And I take it your symptoms have worsened over that time. Am I right?
Yes, okay. They have.
So now it's been identified. What are you taking to try and treat scleroderma, knowing, of course, that there is no cure?
What they try and do now is suppress the immune system. So because it's an autoimmune disease, the first thing they try and do is suppress the immune system to more or less switch off the immune system to stop attacking those cells, the extra collagen that is lying around in your body. So mycophenolate is the drug, which is a very vicious drug, especially kidneys and all those sort of things in your internal areas.
So when you say vicious, you're talking about the side effects here?
Yes, definitely, definitely. As we all know, no drugs are good drugs, besides a good headache tablet, but these drugs are very heavy on the body.
And now you're taking them, what impact are you seeing on your scleroderma?
Too early to say, but so far not so good. So we're noticing things are changing within my face. My skin is really pulling back. My teeth are becoming exposed. My chin is pulling backwards. I have ulcers all over my body. So it's too early to tell at the moment. And that's the thing with scleroderma. You've really got to wait for well over a year after so many blood tests and results, et cetera, and then watching how the disease progresses. So it's not a one-off thing where you walk into a doctor and he says, yes, you've got it, and this is how it'll be, because everyone is different with scleroderma. Not all patients are the same in the effects of scleroderma.
Dr. Wendy Stevens is part of a global network of scleroderma researchers who are working hard in collaboration to try and improve their patients' quality of life. Because the more severe the case, the harder it is, as you can imagine, to hold down a job. For example, two of the many symptoms with scleroderma can be dry, sore eyes and a sore mouth, which, when you think about it, are necessary for so many types of work.
And it's something I guess we've always known, that our patients have this really large disability from all this multitude of symptoms, but it's often under-recognised in the community. And even I know my patients go to Centrelink, and, you know, Centrelink, it's not one of their list of diseases for disability. So, you know, we spend a lot of time to explain to them why they can't work and what the disability is.
So it's so rare you had to actually advocate on behalf of your patients.
Absolutely. And that's why we've got this fascination here with research into this condition, because we believe we're advocating on behalf of our patients.
And then there's the causes. And again, there's no real clear answers with scleroderma. Dr. Stevens says one of the factors could be genetic, and there appears to be a predisposition among some races who are more susceptible to scleroderma than others. But that's only part of what could be happening. I asked Wendy Stevens if there's also any link between the disease and your profession.
There have been some associations in large registries. They've seen an association with silica exposure, but there's also been a query about whether solvents might come into it as well. So there's been some suggestions in case reports of solvents. So we have this sense that there might be a genetic background and environmental triggers. And in most people, we won't know that environmental trigger.
I'm about to speak to someone who has been in the mining industry and has some issues with silicosis, but also has scleroderma. Do you have any clear medical evidence linking those two diseases?
Yeah, there is clear medical evidence. So the evidence started in the 50s where there was a study looking at gold miners in, I think, South Africa, and they compared it to just a case control sort of study to men attending a local hospital and saw an increased incidence. And then there've been case reports around the world of a small series of people who were miners with silica exposure, quite heavy silica exposure, and an association particularly with diffuse scleroderma, and there have been some meta-analysis of all that data, and the suggested is that there's an odds ratio of developing systemic sclerosis if you've had heavy silica exposure of about 2 to 3. So 2 to 3 times the risk that an otherwise miner would get. So it's not huge. Most people exposed to silica dust will not get scleroderma, but there definitely does seem to be an association that's well reported in the literature.
Sam Stefanaris worked in mining for 6 years, and in that time, he was exposed to silicon dust. Sam is currently seeking compensation for damage to his health from his former employer, and his lawyer is Roger Singh, who's a special counsel for dust diseases for Shine Lawyers. Roger, have you ever tested a case in court for compensation around scleroderma?
No, this is the first scleroderma case that I've come across in my years of, well, 2 decades of practice in dust diseases. It doesn't mean that this case will be the last. In recent years, I've come across other autoimmune conditions as well. For example, rheumatoid arthritis being attributed to silica exposure. But I hadn't come across scleroderma. So to answer your question, this is the first of its kind in my years of practice in this field.
So you've dealt with compensation around damage from asbestos, and also I take it from exposure to coal dust and silica dust. You've done that
Correct.
Before.
Yes, I've had scores of cases concerning asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, cases of silicosis, coal miner's black lung. I've seen it all in that sphere. But as I say, this is a new disease I've come across, which from my investigation and evidence we've obtained is attributable to silica exposure. And so beyond the conventional diseases which damage the lungs, it seems we are now seeing autoimmune conditions coming to the fore, such as scleroderma and, as I say, rheumatoid arthritis, which is attributable to silica exposure. And I've come across that in my field of work.
Sam Stefanaris, do you know of any other colleagues, former colleagues in the mining industry who are going through what you're going through at the moment?
We've had a couple of people now that have come through, one female and one male, both ex-miners and worked in the mining industry for such a long time, and both have scleroderma or diffuse scleroderma.
Which means it's not only skin but throughout the body, between organs and other parts of the body as well.
That's correct. Wherever the collagen sits throughout your body, that will, it will attack those certain areas through your body, also internal organs.
You've been looking at, I think you mentioned to me, some other people who might have fallen foul of being exposed to chemicals that could have brought on scleroderma.
Yeah, definitely. I've been reading cases up on house cleaners, industrial cleaners, etc. Certain chemicals that have been put in those solvents that they do use to clean also can introduce scleroderma.
And you've been told the bad news that, and this is the awful truth, is that while more women get scleroderma than men, when men like you get it, it's often a more severe case.
Certainly is. Yes. Yes, it is. And I think also mentally for men too, because let's face it, you know, we like to get out and do things. And when we can't do those things, I think mentally it does hurt. It's not good for the soul.
So on World Scleroderma Day, what are you hoping people will think about?
I know that my patients would like people to understand this disease better. I know that they often find it difficult to explain to people why they feel so unwell, why they can't work, why they're fatigued, why they have painful fingers. Because actually, when you've got too much collagen in your skin, you've got less wrinkles in your face and you actually look quite well often. And so patients will often say to me, everyone doesn't understand me. They don't understand that this is affecting my bowel. I can't eat. I'm losing weight. I've got diarrhea. They don't understand that I'm breathless, that I'm I'm fatigued, that my fingers hurt. So I hope that people, if they meet someone with this illness, will try and understand them and understand that the face doesn't always tell you about what's going on in the rest of the body, and that this is really a very significant disabling illness.
Sam, knowing that scleroderma will probably be with you for the rest of your life, how do you make peace with that? What do you do?
Oh, I think making peace within yourself, I think, is the best thing for me, and to stay positive and be out there to help other people. I think the sensation of helping other people and putting smiles on other faces really, really helps me get through also within myself. Yeah. So that's how I feel about that side of things. There's nothing I can do to change it, but the only thing I can change is myself. So that's definitely how I take it on board.
Sam Stefanaris, learning to live with scleroderma. You also heard from lawyer Roger Singh. Dust disease is his specialty, and rheumatologist Dr. Wendy Stevens. Gee, the stuff that can happen to you. Michael McKenzie, thank you for putting that coverage together.
Yeah, no problems, Amanda. And remember, tomorrow marks World Scleroderma Day. I've put a couple of links on the Life Matters website if you want to know more. And look, if you have scleroderma, please...
One of the 5,000.
That's right. And
Australia.
Perhaps more, because maybe some's been misdiagnosed, like Sam was. Don't hesitate to tell us the impact it may have had on your life. You can email us at lifematters@abc.net.au.